Chapter 38. Storage. Callie attached boots to pants first while she could still bend over easily. It took almost 10 minutes to connect the upper and lower waist on her own, another 6 or 7 to get on the second glove. After wrestling with it for a few minutes, she discovered the first helmet didn't match the collar in the suit. 23 minutes after doing a walkover out of the vent, she activated the suit. The heads-up display lit up in the visor. Faint hums and hisses washed across her. The hunch in her shoulders loosened and dropped. Tessa's voice whispered inside her helmet.
You there?
Yeah.
You're running a few minutes behind schedule. Took longer to get the suit on than I thought. I've got your telemetry up. All systems look good. Where's the monster? I still can't find it. It slipped into a blind spot somewhere.
Wonderful.
Where's Jake? He's inside Anubis. It was kind of scary watching him go down the hall like a really ruthless character in an action movie. I almost felt sorry for the zombie.
But he's in Anubis and safe?
Oh, yeah, I think he's getting out of his suit. We should have him back in 2 or 3 minutes.
Callie walked to the door.
Okay, so where's the closest blind spot? There's one at the end of the boulevard, about 15 feet from the storeroom door.
She tapped at the door controls with one gloved finger. The maglocks thumped inside the wall. She counted to 5.
Anything? No sign of it.
You know, said Callie, we never talked about what we'll do if it gets behind me.
That's not a problem. It'll be close enough to the bulkheads for me to just hit the purge.
Callie opened the door, looked out at the hall. If she remembered correctly, the blank door across from the storeroom was another laboratory. She counted to 5 again, took a cautious step back on 3, another one on 5. Nothing. She stepped forward and leaned out into the boulevard, turned her head left and right inside the helmet. Nothing moved. Nothing made a sound. She sidestepped through the door, swiveled her hips, and turned her shoulders. The end of Celine swung into view, a small, 50-seat theater she'd heard the other caretakers mention. A lit frame displayed a poster for some historical drama, while another promised a busty, axe- and pistol-wielding woman in fantasy armor was coming soon. She brought her shoulders and helmet back around toward the plaza. Just a few meters away sat the broken vent where the creature had forced its way out onto Celine. Then 3 restaurants, the grocery store, the gift shop. Past all of them loomed the 2 huge emergency doors.
Where the hell is it?
I don't know,
said Tessa.
It's just gone.
Callie cleared her throat.
Okay, where are the blind spots?
You should be able to see 2 of them from where you are.
I don't see anything.
That means there isn't a monster hiding in those blind spots.
Callie took a few more steps. She leaned past an archway.
I can see all the way to the big doors. No sign of it.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Yes.
Hang on,
said Tessa.
Could it be in a shop or something?
Maybe. Hang on.
Callie stepped through the arch. Every door and window looked intact on the far side of the boulevard. The suit's thick soles wobbled on the cobblestones for a moment and sent her mind skittering through a half-dozen twisted ankle scenarios. She took a breath and another step.
Don't we have cameras everywhere?
Almost everywhere,
said Tessa.
But I can only look at 4 or 5 at a time, and I still don't have access to all of them.
Callie inched across the cobblestones, trying to get a look at the storefronts down her side of the street. Past the restaurant next to her, the doors and windows were too recessed to see if they were open or not. She couldn't even get a sense if the big windows were still intact. She took another cautious step.
You've got sound, too, right? Have you heard it break anything? Doors? Windows?
Inside the helmet, her eyes flitted around the edges of her visor. Lunar helmets weren't as open or expansive as deep space ones. They were made to be a bit more durable to deal with gravity. and anything important would be around you or below. Not up. She slid her heel behind her to take the weight and leaned back. Nothing. Just the ceiling of Lower Selene. Light bars, a few aluminum beams, some smaller vents. She almost didn't catch the whisper over the quiet hum of her suit.
Tessa, was that you? Repeat that last bit.
A faint noise, not quite a hiccup, not quite a gasp, echoed over the helmet's speakers.
Callie, I think we...
She turned to look behind her again, still nothing.
What is it? What's wrong? Let me get Jake on with us. He needs... You both need to hear this. Tessa, what's... Jake, are you there? This is important.
Yeah, answered Jake. Is she in her suit yet?
I've been in my suit for almost 10 minutes, said Callie. Where are you?
What? I'm still a Gagarin sitting on my butt.
Why?
Because Tessa told me to.
No, I didn't.
Damn it, you told me.
Both of you be quiet, hissed Tessa. Listen to me.
I need to get Anubis over to...
Listen! Osiris is offline. The whole base is completely shut down.
Callie stared down Selene toward the doors, tried to stare through the walls over to the sheriff's office on Gleti.
What?
How would you even know that? Asked Jake.
I had this idea to get at all the other cameras laterally,
Tessa explained.
I thought if I ran a diagnostic, maybe it would let me look through them for a minute or two while it did checks, and the diagnostics section of the system is just full of red flags right now, with the carrier crashing and the breaches and emergency bulkheads and...
Tessa, what's going on at Osiris?
Nothing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's all shut down. CO2 scrubbers, heaters, water reclamation... Computers registered a major breach just over 31 hours ago, about an hour after we left. Life support functions shut down automatically 6 hours later to save power.
Callie turned around again. Still nothing, no movement, no sound. She tried to wade through everything she'd just heard.
Henri's dead?
Tessa made a little squawk.
Henri died yesterday.
Callie's heart beat twice in the quiet. Jake broke the silence. We talked to him this morning.
No,
said Tessa.
We didn't.
Yeah, we...
He's dead, Jake. He died before Wagid did.
I've known Henri for 5 years. Think I'd know his voice.
I think that was the idea,
said Callie. Her gut rolled over, kept rolling, turned it into a slow churn. What do you mean? Jake asked.
It sounded just like Henri, she said.
She shifted her feet and turned in a slow circle, looking in every direction.
It told us the meteor was up on Anubis's roof. It got us to bring it inside.
She pivoted and stared at the storage room she'd just walked out of. She looked back up at the ceiling. You're saying this thing's doing all of this? The rock? It's not just alive.
It's awake,
Tessa said.
It's conscious.